Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I hate to do this to you guys today. I really felt a little guilty because the more I read, the more I reminded myself of something I've forgotten to do, and that is to ask you a simple question. Did you have your cup of coffee today? Because hopefully by the end of the show, you'll agree with me that the best thing you could do tomorrow morning, maybe Monday morning, give yourself a break, is start thinking about that choice. I realize I don't ask enough of my clients, my patients, that question. And I've started to, and I realize, boy, have I made a mistake. Lots of people are sneaking that cup a day, that second cup a day, that third cup a day. Yes, it's habit forming. Yes, the media will tell you in moderate doses it's okay. I want to use the science today and have you decide. Can you afford that cup, that 100, that 200 milligrams, that 300 milligrams? As always, you got to get to the website. I'm going to tell the story with some pictures. Coffee's a fascinating story. It's got a wonderful history associated with it. Coffee was first, in a sense, discovered in the Middle East a long time ago. And I think, as you can imagine, just about everybody hooked in. You got that pump in the morning. Somehow your day went better. At least it started that way. Maybe back then, maybe long ago, you could afford to do it, because then again, things were different. And the downside to it, that downside in a technologically oriented electrical environment, that downside is harsh. But back then, maybe you could get away with it. You can't today. Let me tell you why. Let's use the science here to understand what coffee actually does. That's the key. All right. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Not .com.cc. If you're driving, just listen, and when you get home, you get some free time, get to that website. You got to understand this. You want to give this up. It's not good. A book, before I start, if you go to page 26, picture 26, I think one of the most respected books on the downside of caffeine, or Caffeine Blues, by Stephen Chernisky. He's got a master's degree in clinical nutrition. He's a pretty well-known guy. He wrote this book quite a few years ago, but it's one of our benchmark studies. Really, common sense is our benchmark study. Really, if you watch people and you ask yourself, why are they taking that cup in the morning? You know, they love the taste and the color and all this baloney, and it comes down to the fact they're waking up exhausted and starting the day is a struggle. It's their health. It's their compromised health, and there's just no two ways about it. All subjective. Let's take a look at the science. On the website, I'd like you to go to picture number 15. Go to picture 15. I think that'll do it best. Picture number 15, how caffeine works. As always, things that make us feel good. Drugs and types of drugs, synthetic, meaning pharmaceutical, and natural drugs, whatever drugs, are always messing around at the receptor site, the space in between the neurons. The modulation or the flow, the transmission of certain types of electrical impulses, and the types of neurotransmitters from dopamine to serotonin, and so on and so forth, in between those neurons, is always where that elixir will live, whether it's caffeine or cocaine or marijuana. Now take a look at caffeine here on that picture. Adenosine. What is adenosine? Adenosine Well, let's read it, and that's the best way. Adenosine, the molecule, helps prepare the body for sleep by curbing the chatter between nerve cells. So it's a modulator of nerve impulse, adenosine, and it's got to bind to its receptor sites along the nerve pathway. Adenosine slows you down. Adenosine puts you to sleep. Adenosine sounds like, now you've got to use your past education, something that's more parasympathetic oriented. Now, caffeine, on the other hand, blocks the receptor site that adenosine would otherwise bind to. Let's get a picture of that. So we're going to go to a different picture now. Go to picture number 16. It's the next picture, picture 16. There we go. Very simple. Adenosine. Binding into the adenosine receptor. And we're saying that you have increased cell activity, meaning stimulation. But I should say, when adenosine binds into that receptor, you're looking at picture number 16, it relaxes the cell. In terms of your blood vessels, it will vasodilate them. In terms of your mental overload, how many perceptions per unit second you're going to have, whether you feel hyper or whether you feel like you're in the chill zone, adenosine slows that process down. So it gets you ready for sleep. But really, it's a parasympathetic initiator, which means it gets you ready to digest. It gets you ready for higher level creative thought. It gets you ready to relax. It gets you ready to counter the effect of what happens when caffeine binds. When caffeine, go to the lower picture, when caffeine competes with those same receptor sites that the adenosine would otherwise bind to, when it competitively inhibits, you don't get the slow down part of it. You get the speed up part of it. And we could call this strength and peak power and delayed fatigue. And because it stimulates production of dopamine, we could call it you get an enhanced elation, a euphoric feeling. And we could say, in a sense, that's all good. And understand that, because when people argue, usually from the caffeine industry, when you take a look at that book by Chernisky, Relaxed Caffeine Blues, when you take a look at that book, he took the time to really go into who's supporting the hullabaloo about how good caffeine is in moderate consumption, how it's healthy for you. He's the guy that really went behind the scenes to study who's funding those researches. And invariably, almost invariably, those researches are funded by the caffeine industry. Somewhere along that line, you're going to find these publications saying that caffeine in moderate consumption, nobody will say caffeine in extreme consumption, caffeine in 300, 400, 500 milligrams per day, caffeine in one of those big Starbucks jugs that people line up around the block for every single morning of their life. Caffeine over 12 ounces, nobody makes a case for. But caffeine up to a couple of hundred milligrams, up to even 300 milligrams a day. 300 milligrams a day is about 16 ounces. There's variations depending on the strength of the coffee. But one cup is what people will call often the moderate amount. The publications behind it, if you get into Chernisky's book, Caffeine Blues, one of the landmark books on it, are all funded one way or the other by the caffeine societies, the caffeine industry, Nestle's, any of these companies that use caffeine in their foods. It's not just coffee, right? You've got Red Bull, one of the biggest multi-billion dollar hits of the last 25 years, Red Bull, chocolate. But caffeine finds its way into everything. It's not just those drinks. It's certainly not just coffee. All the variations of tea, from the green tea to the black tea, these are all bound by the caffeine industry, so the publications supporting it. This is what you have to understand about caffeine, and hopefully a number of you will have the background science to appreciate the statement I'm going to make. That caffeine, which, by the way, is a pesticide, caffeine from the caffeine plant. The purpose of caffeine in the plant is to make insects pass it over. It doesn't taste good to insects. If you get into the history of caffeine and coffee production, caffeine growing correctly isn't something that your average insect wants to munch on. The caffeine is a bitter poison. The caffeine, really, in the body is to shock the nervous system. The purpose of caffeine in the plant as a protective pesticide, the function of caffeine in our body is as a shock. And what do our bodies do? I find this fascinating. What do our bodies do when we eat something that shocks us? We go into adrenal stress. A message goes to the adrenals, and the adrenals are squeezed so that you get, per ingestion of caffeine, 100, 200, 300, 400, 600, 700 milligrams, you get a purge. It squeezes the adrenals of its available adrenaline. It's a shock. It's like you're tired, you're fatigued, and boom. Think of it. Think of that morning you were fatigued. Think of that moment you were thinking about food. Think of that moment you were craving something, and something shocks your system. The walls rattle in an earthquake. There's a car accident. You get some bad news. Instantaneously, think about it. Your hunger ceases. You don't have to go to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, you get a surge of energy. I want you to just sink into that moment. That moment where you just didn't feel like moving, and all of a sudden you're at high speed. The best one is when the alarm clock forgot to go off. Think of that morning, you're exhausted. Think of that morning, you got home late. You forgot to set the alarm clock. You woke up, you had that pit in your stomach, and you bet you've got 5 minutes to get to work, and it's the first day of the job. In approximately 10 seconds, you dash out of bed, you dash to the coffee pot, you pour the cup, you run out the door with half your clothes on and get to work only 10 minutes late. That type of a moment. That's what coffee's doing all the time. There shouldn't be an argument about coffee. There shouldn't be a black and white about it. What you're doing with coffee consumption is you're squeezing your adrenals. You're squeezing your adrenals to produce the amount of adrenaline that they can summon up and the amount of cortisol. Now, right there, the argument for coffee should end. Done. Goodbye. Coffee improves your life experience, your well-being. Well, look, if your cortisol spikes, one thing you're going to do is you're going to surge your insulin. And if your cortisol and your insulin spike, yeah, you're going to mobilize your sugars out of your liver into your muscles for increased energy. But you're also going to send every little bit of fat, every little bit of sugar to your fat. Increased cortisol increases the conversion of your essential fatty acids, your sugars, to fat. In the acute phase of it, the increase in adrenaline and the surge of cortisol will function for your well-being. Thus, you're late for work and you've got the energy to zoom. Thus, there's some sort of a, you know, that stereotype of the tiger out in the jungle and you've got to sprint to get away. It's there for you, but you see, the rest of the day, and if you're consuming it chronically, the rest of your week, and if you're consuming it chronically for years, the rest.